The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to Plan Your Estate Radio with your host, San Jose Estate Planning Attorney Bob Bergman. Bob's been practicing law for over 40 years and is certified by the State Bar of California as a legal specialist in estate planning, trust, and probate law. Bob is here to help you set your house in order with valuable insights you can use today to prepare a better tomorrow for your loved ones. And now your host for Plan Your Estate Radio, Attorney Bob Bergman.
Good afternoon, Bay Area. Bob Bergman here, broadcasting from my law office in San Jose, California, in the Cambrian Park neighborhood on Ross Avenue near Hillsdale, between Willow Glen neighborhood and the city of Campbell. So if you know the area, you know where I'm at. This is my third show back on the air, and I first wanted to lead off by saying it's really good to be back on the air. I hope if you have listened to me in the past, you're continuing to do so now, and you're telling your family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, anybody within earshot that you should listen to me on Monday afternoons between 2 and 4 o'clock. Now, I am raising this because I really want to build my audience this year. I think it's time for me to get my reach as far as possible. I've had a number of people contact me over the years that actually listen to my show, and they're from other parts of the country, which I find amazing. But then I realize it actually kind of makes some sense because KDOW does have a streaming app, and people can actually listen to the radio station from anywhere in the world on the streaming app. I know that when I've traveled in other parts of the country, I've actually had the opportunity to listen to radio stations back here in the Bay Area, listening streaming. And so I think it's good to know that people are actually listening. Now, I've been talking the last couple of weeks about the action to repeal Proposition 19. If you go to my website at lawbob, lawbob.com, and then click on the menu item that says Repeal Prop 19, you can actually get more information about that. And click through to the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association, where you can download the paperwork that can be signed and postmarked by February 5th back to them. They're trying to collect right now about a million more signatures in order to get this repeal on the November ballot so we can return the state back to what it was with Proposition 58 and Proposition 193 prior to the Proposition 19 being passed by the voters. By 53%, by the way, which is interesting because the original Proposition 58 was passed by 70% of the voters, and I have a hard time believing that suddenly there was this major shift in belief by the voters. Really, it was unfortunate that we were lied to by the proponents of the original Proposition 19. They didn't give us the full story, but now's the chance. If you think it was unfair what was put in front of us and passed, here's your chance to sign to get it on the ballot in November so that the voters of this state can actually vote to repeal a proposition that has caused tremendous hardship already to hundreds, if not thousands, of families around the state. So go to my website, go to the menu, click on the Repeal Prop 19 to read more about it. And if you agree, follow through and download maybe many copies of the paperwork so you can distribute them to family and friends and coworkers so that they can get signed up and send everything in to get as many signatures as possible. You have to be a registered voter. You have to fill out the county where you're registered to vote as part of the paperwork. Read the paperwork carefully, exactly how it's supposed to be filled out, where data is supposed to go, where your signature is supposed to go. And also note that even if you're doing it for yourself, you have to fill out the part of the form that says you're the one submitting the form. I know it seems counterintuitive. Of course it is. It was designed by the state. But follow the instructions very, very carefully and make sure that you do it correctly. And also make sure you are registered to vote in your county, because if you're not registered to vote or if you're not eligible to be a registered voter, filling out this paperwork will just be an exercise in futility, because it will not be counted when it comes in. It will be discarded and you will have wasted a stamp. Okay? Now, on the show, I thought I would take some time today, maybe in this first segment, maybe continuing into the second segment, to give you a little bit of my background, because I have kind of an unusual background. I wasn't always a lawyer, believe it or not. There was a time that I was a little baby boy. So I'm going to give you a little bit of history about who I am and where I came from. Now, the first thing is, my current name of Robert Bergman, that's not my birth name. I was born Roberto Borin. I was born to an Italian mother in Tripoli, Libya. That's in North Africa, not Tripoli, Lebanon. Two different countries, Libya and Lebanon. They're quite a ways apart from each other, hundreds of miles. So Tripoli, Libya, yeah, like the halls of Montezuma, the shores of Tripoli, that Tripoli. I was born to an Italian mother, and then when I was about a year and a half old, I was adopted by an Air Force lieutenant colonel, my dad, and his wife, my mom, and their two daughters, my sisters, Susie and Jean, and they adopted me, brought me out of Libya back to the United States, and when I was four and a half, I became a U.S. citizen in El Paso County, Colorado. That's because my father was stationed at that point in time at Ent Air Force Base in Colorado Springs. So that's where I became a citizen. My family then moved around because my dad was in the Air Force. Prior to that, we had been in Michigan. And then from Colorado, we went off to Bermuda, where my dad was stationed at Kinley Air Force Base. And after Bermuda, my dad went to his final duty assignment, which was Langley Air Force Base in Virginia, home also of Tactical Air Command, NASA, and CIA. And I lived on a military reservation with my family about 5 miles away from the air base. I went to schools there, including finally in seventh grade at a school in Newport News, Virginia. And then my dad retired from the service and moved the family out to California. And I've lived in California ever since. Went to public high school in Sunnyvale, went to St. Francis High School in Mountain View, and then from there went on to UC Berkeley for a year, then came back, finished up at De Anza College for my AA, then on to San Jose State for my bachelor's degree, which back then, I'm so old, back then it was called an AB rather than a BA. Then I went on to Santa Clara Law School, where I graduated in 1980 with my JD and entered the practice of law. I have a background in financial services, insurance and securities, registered representative, financial planner with MetLife, a lot of different financial background. I don't practice in that area, but I have a lot of background that I bring into my practice here as an estate planning attorney, which I have been doing for over 40 years now. And I do enjoy what I do. I enjoy being thorough with what I do. And I take an approach to estate planning that I learned from my father, who it turns out was an engineer and a meteorologist and a pilot and a realtor. So I learned kind of how to approach things like a scientist would, and that's how I approach my practice. So when we come back after the break, I'll continue with more Plan Your Estate Radio. This is your radio host, estate planning attorney, Bob Bergman. So stay tuned for more Plan Your Estate Radio.
This is Plan Your Estate Radio with San Jose estate planning attorney Bob Bergman on AM 1220 KDOW.
Hi, welcome back. Well, for this second segment of the show, I'm going to go through some questions and comments that I have gleaned from around the state of California that I think might be of interest. First one is kind of straightforward. It's out of Costa Mesa, California. And the person said, my mom had a trust and she left her house to my sister. My mom also had two bank accounts, not in the trust, with me as beneficiary on both after death. Her bank even confirmed that. My sister became my mother's power of attorney agent without my stepfather or my knowledge because of dementia, and took me off as beneficiary and added her name, then closed the accounts after my mom died. I heard this was legal, but looks bad. Do I have a case if I take it to court? Well, let me see if I can unpack this a bit. If the mother actually had dementia at the time that the sister became her agent under a power of attorney, the power of attorney is not valid. It just wasn't valid. And if the mother was a senior doing this and then changing the beneficiaries on account that the mother had, changed them from one child to herself, who's the agent under the power of attorney, in order to get those accounts, that could be elder financial abuse right there. This brother might very well have a case if he can demonstrate that the time the sister got this authority under a power of attorney, his mother had dementia and was not capable of granting that authority, that she was not mentally capable of giving authority to someone to act on her behalf. If that's the case, I think he has a good case for going after the sister for basically fraudulently obtaining a power of attorney and fraudulently using it to change the beneficiaries on these accounts and fraudulently taking the accounts that she was not entitled to. So that's kind of a tricky one. It's in Orange County. I would hope this person would seek assistance from an attorney in Orange County. That's Costa Mesa. And he might very well have a case here against his sister. His sister may have acted completely inappropriately and actually illegally in doing what she did. But it's going to take going to court to get that sorted out. Okay, here's kind of a side one out of Rancho Cordova, California. Said, my mother passed away over 10 years ago. I was not the executor of her will. County of Sacramento Revenue Recovery just sent a past due utility bill addressed to her trust at my address. My address is the only info on it related to me. I really do not know what to do. Well, you could either ignore this because you're not the trust, and if it's to her trust, they have to try and collect against her trust, presumably. If you had nothing to do with your mother's estate when she passed away, I don't know. Now, if you received monies from her estate, and there was a utility bill that was not taken care of, and you're the only one that received money, you might very well be liable for paying that past due utility bill, because you don't get to receive or get to inherit free from any creditors that are owed money. And if they determine that you received everything, that you received the distribution of everything from your mother's will, and she owed money, and they were never informed of that, they may very well be able to collect on this past due utility bill. I think you need to come clean with them, find out what the basis of their claim is, and it may be that you actually have to pay it because you get all the you got all the money from your mother's estate, and the utilities were entitled to be paid, especially if it was the county that was actually operating the utilities. They're probably going to keep coming after you until they get paid or until you can prove that you did not receive any monies, which is probably not the case if your mother had a will and you were an heir of your mother's. So kind of up in the air as to what the ultimate result of that one would be. Now here out of Huntington Beach, California, person says, I'm being sued by my sister to remove me as a co-trustee of our parents' trust, but neither she nor I has signed an affidavit. Can the lawsuit proceed without the affidavit? I'll tell you right now, I literally have no idea what this person is talking about, the affidavit. Says, additionally, our father, the original grantor, is still alive, but has dementia. Trust states that two doctor's notes are required to declare him incapacitated, but her attorney has only produced one. Please advise. Well, first of all, it sounds like there's nobody in charge of this trust right now. If the terms of the trust requiring two doctor's notes has not been fulfilled, no one's really in charge yet. So I'm not sure how your sister can successfully sue you to remove you as a co-trustee when, based on what is said here, nobody is a trustee at this point in time. It sounds like the father has dementia. It's his trust, but no one's in charge yet. I don't think the sister even has standing to bring a lawsuit to have you removed as a co-trustee when it doesn't appear there's any trustee at this time. So it's kind of a convoluted situation. I would hope this person is able to get guidance from an estate planning litigator in Huntington Beach area, because just it sounds like there's maybe some pieces of information missing, or the sister and her attorney really have no idea what they're doing. That's always a possibility. Trust me, attorneys don't always have all the answers, and sometimes they misunderstand or they misconstrue the law, or they don't bother to read the documents that they're suing under, and it may just be that that was overlooked or dismissed in some way, and I don't know that the court will dismiss that. If the trust says requires two notes from doctors to declare someone incapacitated, that's what is required because the trust requires it. So anything short of that, you really can't just take over. You might be able to petition the court and request to take over because you can't get that information, but then you have to bring the father in or have him served, and it can get to be a real mess. But in any event, I think that there's other issues here. There's other information that's probably missing. Okay, we're coming up on the midpoint of our show today. I hope you're enjoying it so far. I hope if you hear something that's of interest to you or someone that you might know that you pass my information on or you contact my office, you can email me at rpb@lawbob.com if you want to ask me a question or something. This is Attorney Bob Bergman, and we'll get back together after the mid-show break.
This is Plan Your Estate Radio with San Jose Estate Planning Attorney Bob Bergman. on AM 1220 KDOW.
And welcome back to the third segment of our show today. I'm going to continue with some more questions and comments from around the state of California. And hopefully as we go forward, you'll hear something that's of interest to you or interest to someone that you know that may be in a similar situation. Now here out of Pasadena, California, someone says, can my attorney obtain a copy of an original living trust from the attorney who actually wrote the living trust? And the situation is, the person who created the trust has died, a successor trustee is in place, and I'm a beneficiary. Well, what I'll say here is that if the person who created the trust is now deceased, the trust has become irrevocable, and under the law, the trustee is to provide a copy of the terms of the trust, which is generally interpreted as meaning the trust document, to everyone who is named as a beneficiary in the trust and everyone who would be an intestate heir of the person who died, someone who would inherit if there was no trust or no will. And some believe also maybe even people who are potential remainder beneficiaries of the trust who might inherit if a beneficiary were to die in the meantime. So this person should be looking for getting a copy of the trust from the successor trustee, and if that's not forthcoming in a reasonable amount of time, say within 30 days or so, their attorney should contact the successor trustee and say, I want a copy of the trust. Start documenting that in case there are issues later on. If the trustee of the trust does not actually follow through and provide those things, then the trustee of the trust could end up being liable for a lot of things happening to them. So that is just kind of just a little bit of a thought right there. All right, here, from San Jacinto, California. My sister was named as first successor trustee in our mother's living trust, and it states that if she's unable or unwilling for any reason to serve as the trustee, then the next successor trustee would be me. My question is, does my sister need to draw up a power of attorney stating that she's unable to be the successor trustee so I can be, or just a notarized statement stating she's unable to be the successor trustee? I would lean towards the latter, a statement saying, I decline to serve as the trustee of the ABC Trust, signed, dated, notarized, provided to the person who's asking the question, and then she can use that as evidence along with the trust itself, that she's actually the one that's in charge at that point. Okay, let's see. Yeah, this one's kind of a convoluted one, and it actually comes out of my neck of the woods, San Jose, California. And the person said, my father passed August of 2023. He had a will he made in 2006, which states it was amended and restated in 2018. I have my doubts about the changes for various reasons. Throughout the entire paperwork, beneficiary notice, his trust, his will, my name is spelled incorrectly. As an only child, I can't see my father not knowing how to spell my first name. I was given 20% of the house in which I lived and grew up, yet my father's caregiver and her children all received most of the assets and property. I'm only allowed to request funds for urgent or necessary matters, while they're all free to receive their portions immediately, quote, for their happiness. That's really weird, by the way. My vehicle desperately needs repairs, but the trustee told me there was no money, and the house really wasn't all that much. well, if it's in San Jose, it's probably more than you even think. I haven't even been reimbursed for funeral costs. Now, according to the caregiver, listen to that word, the trustee is in a hurry to sell the house. Selling it is not in my plans. I'm still mourning. I believe my father met the trustee through the caregiver, and there may be foul play. This is something I know nothing about. Any suggestions would be much appreciated. Well, let me start first by saying, if there's a trust involved and the caregiver was someone who was caring for the father, doing things like helping feed him, clothe him, bathe him, run errands for him, all those kinds of things, then the law requires, or the law assumes, that a caregiver who is not an immediate relative of the person, that anything left to them that is valued more than $5,000, and it sounds like that would be the case here, that that gift is presumed to be due to undue influence by the caregiver on the person making the gift, and the gift is void as a matter of law unless a certificate of independent review was obtained by the person making the gift, meaning an attorney interviewed them, independently verified their wishes and intentions, and puts in writing, this person knows exactly what they're doing and what they intended. They intended to make this gift, and there's nothing unusual about it. Failing to do that would mean that under the law, the gift is void, meaning that the person cannot rely on the gift, and the son here could actually go to court and demand that that this trust be overturned. Sounds pretty extreme, doesn't it? Well, yes, it's intended to be pretty extreme, because someone that actually takes advantage of somebody that they're taking care of, that's exactly what we're talking about here. It does happen a lot, and a case like this, we're probably looking at, there may, depending on the age of the person involved, there may have been elder financial abuse, and that's something that here in Santa Clara County, where this is taking place, that's something the district attorney's office would be very interested in learning about. So I bring this up because this person might very well be able to have the whole thing thrown out by the court because of the fact that this person was a caregiver. In fact, if they were a caregiver, their ability to inherit from the person they're caring for is severely limited, and it may be that the trust itself actually has no basis in the law and should, in fact, be thrown out. There's that. So that's an important one right there to check into, for this person to check into. Okay. Out of San Francisco, California. This is a question about probate and wills. It says, a relative passed away exactly 2 years ago today. I found out a few months ago from the VA posting on Ancestry that my relative had died. My relative's ex-girlfriend took over his property, and I'm the next of kin. I sent her a letter asking for his trust and will copies, but she never told me he died, and I have no idea. I'm his next of kin. I was never notified in any way, shape, or form that he died. Do statutes of limitations still apply if I didn't know? Well, the answer is a statute of limitation applies when you knew or should have known, so it becomes a question of fact here. Person said, the trust is in Marin County. I'm in San Francisco. What do I do? What city does a lawyer have to be in to get help? Well, either San Francisco or in Marin County, someone who practices in that area, but you need to consult with legal counsel on this to see whether or not you have any claim to actually contest this or go back and somehow get the inheritance if you're the next of kin, unless there was very, very specific estate planning documents that say everything goes to the girlfriend, who, by the way, leapfrogging off that last one, might very well be a caregiver under the law. Got to look at that carefully. You may have to go to court or take them to court in order to establish maybe your right to actually inherit from that relative if you were the relative's next of kin. So we're coming up on the end of the third segment of the show today. And I thought when I came back, I'd take the last segment and discuss kind of in depth the one of the most common court petitions that I do. I alluded to it briefly in an earlier show, but I'm going to talk about the Hegstat petition and what it means when someone has a trust and has assets that are not in the trust when they die, but should have been in the trust. So when we come back, I'm going to talk about the Hegstat petition and how I handle them here in the Bay Area. This is attorney Bob Bergman, host of Plan Your Estate Radio. We'll finish up the show after the break.
Now, back to Plan Your Estate Radio with attorney Bob Bergman.
Hi, welcome back. So, in this final segment of our show today, I'm going to talk about a special type of court petition that is called a Hegstat petition. Now, a Hegstat petition, it's named after a court case, Hegstat, basically Hegstat versus Superior Court. And the original case went something like this. Someone had a trust. In the trust, they identified that they wanted their real estate at, we'll just say, 123 Main Street, and to be an asset of their trust. They identified it in their trust as an asset, but they never transferred the title with the recorder's office. So after this person died, the attorney that was handling the estate took the position that because the person had identified it in the trust as an asset and that identified that in writing with a, in this case, a signed and dated trust, that it was in fact in the trust. And that was contested and it went all the way up on appeal and the court decided, the higher court decided here in California, that if there was that kind of evidence, written evidence of intent that a property be or asset be in someone's trust, well, then that means that that they could actually sign an order, meaning the judge could sign an order, and that in signing the order, they could then declare that asset to be in the trust, in this case, real estate, without having to go through the whole probate process. Now, the reason for that was, for one thing, it saves court time and money if you don't have to go through the whole probate process and the judge can just sign a court order. Now, this original Hegstat has been expanded. There's a later case that's Ukestad. I know, no relation. They both end in stat, though. And that extended the rules to basically any asset that was in someone's name or payable to their probate estate that was identified in the trust as intended to be part of their trust. Now, here in California, I do a lot of these petitions for trusts, both in Santa Clara County, ones that are in San Mateo County, ones that are in Contra Costa County, And I've even determined a way that I can do, as long as everyone's in agreement, I can do these kinds of plans and trusts in Santa Clara County that are for counties elsewhere in the state. I have figured out a way to do that. So I help people all over the state clear this up. If you're in a situation where you've just taken over as a trustee and you've determined that the person's house or bank accounts or other things are not in the trust and they should have been, give me a call. Send me an email at rpb@lawbob.com or go to my website, hegstadhelp.com, HEGGSTADHELP, all one word, .com, where I describe this, I describe process, and I also outline what kinds of evidence is necessary in order to support a petition like this and have it granted successfully by the court. I may be able to assist you if you know someone in another part of the state that's running up against this issue. They could contact me as well, and I can determine pretty quickly whether or not it's possible for me to actually assist the family and get this taken care of. Here in Santa Clara County, if everyone's in agreement, it usually takes about 30 to 45 days. If it's a San Mateo County trust and everyone's in agreement, I can actually file it and have it considered in the same day. I'm about to do one of those, a petition, not a Hegstat, but a similar petition in San Mateo County on Wednesday morning. I'll be driving up. I'll be filing the petition. I'll turn it over to the staff attorney for the judge and then wait outside until they come back with signed order. And then I can take it downstairs, get it filed, get a certified copy, and walk out the door. In Contra Costa County, I can often do it as quickly as that, go up, file it, and then kind of hang around Martinez until I get a phone call saying it's been signed, and then go back in and process everything through. So that's a Hegstat petition. If you go to hegstadhelp.com, you can read more about them and then see whether or not that's something I can assist you with, or if you know someone else somewhere else in the state that could use assistance, have them contact me. Okay, we're coming up on the end of the show today. I hope you've heard some things that were informative. I hope you've gotten a little better educated about some things and you've had a good time. I know I've had a good time with the show myself. And I want to thank you for listening today. I'll be back next week. Going forward, I hope to have some guests on my show and interview them on my show so you can learn more things about other things. But until next week, this is Attorney Bob Bergman, host of Plan Your Estate Radio. Have a great week, Bay Area.
You've been listening to Plan Your Estate Radio with estate planning attorney Bob Bergman. For more information on today's program or to schedule a consultation, visit lawbob.com. L-A-W-B-O-B, lawbob.com. Or call his office in San Jose, 408-247-0444. That's 408-247-0444. And be sure to tune in next week for more Plan Your Estate Radio with attorney Bob Bergman.
Opinions expressed in the preceding program do not necessarily represent the views of the ownership, staff, or management of this station and are for informational purposes only and should not be construed to be legal, financial, or tax advice. Seek appropriate legal advice regarding your particular situation. Attorney Bob Bergman does not offer any guarantees with regard to the outcome of your legal matter. Prior results in other cases do not guarantee a similar outcome in your case. All rights reserved.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
the explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.